Father, we just thank you, and God, we praise you and give you all honor and glory. We thank you, God, for allowing us to be here tonight in your presence. We ask, God, that the precious blood of Jesus Christ would cover each one of us and this message, that your holy angels would be here among us, God, to minister to us everything that we have need of in this hour. We thank you, God, for your words, for your teaching, in Jesus' name. Amen. So up front, I would like to say that the most of the content of this teaching is actually by Jonathan Kahn, and he's written a lot of this in this book he recently published called The Harbinger. You may have heard of it. So that's where some of this teaching comes from, and I've just added a few things on my own, but I just wanted to say that up front. Now, the title of this teaching is America Under Judgment. There's a lot of people that believe falsely that America is not under judgment. And it is, and we're going to go into why that is, and we're going to see a lot of parallels between what is happening with our nation of America now and what has happened in ancient Israel. In the Bible, we're going to see a lot of similarities there. Now, in these end times that we are living in, there are many differing opinions about what is happening with America, and many prophetic voices that are conflicting with the true Spirit of God. In other words, people are saying things that are not the real truth. In Matthew chapter 24, starting at verse 6, this is Jesus speaking. You are going to hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not alarmed, because these things must take place, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise up against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes in various places. I'm going to pause for a second. I put that asterisk by the word famines, because many translations also say pestilence or disease. So I just wanted to note that in there. Continuing in verse 8, all these events are the beginning of birth pains. Then they will hand you over for persecution, and they will kill you. You will be hated by all nations because of my name. Now pay attention to this, that this is happening right now. Definitely elsewhere in the world, but it has come and will continue to increase in America as well. In verse 10, then many will take offense, betray one another, and hate one another. Many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. Because lawlessness will multiply, the love of many will grow cold, but the one who endures to the end will be delivered. There is so much offense going on right now. Anywhere you look, anywhere you go, people are getting offended over the smallest of things. And it's turning into hatred. It's turning into violence. And people are literally being handed over and killed because of these issues. So these conflicting voices are prophesying times of peace and blessing, saying that America is okay and will prosper as it currently is. At this given time, this statement is not true. Yes, God has placed President Donald J. Trump in office as his vessel of honor with which to work through, because God's desire is to restore and bless America. And there are things that are happening through President Donald J. Trump that are working towards the achievement of that goal, that desire. However, the deep roots of lasting change and true reformation of this nation will ultimately depend upon the hearts of the people turning from their wickedness and humbling themselves before God. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. That is basically the key that we need to put into the socket and turn to unlock the blessing of our land and the forgiveness of our sins and for our future generations. The simple truth is that we are in the end times. Persecution is coming and America is facing down the barrel of God's wrath and judgment. That's the position that we are in right now. The barrel of God's wrath and judgment. The reason for the latter is for the simple fact, as evidenced many times in history within the Bible, that the people are not truly repenting of their sins either individually or as a nation. And that is the most important key, is true, lasting repentance that takes root. Israel has gone through countless repetitions of this, and God's response has always been the same. The pattern is clearly identifiable because of God's holiness and righteousness. So in other words, God always responds to this the same way every time. God sends prophets to warn the people, hey, you're in sin, you're doing this wrong, you need to repent. And this is a phase that is gone through until the proverbial heat has to be kicked up another notch. And then judgment starts happening, saying, look, the judgment's happening, you have to repent. So when a nation is in sin, God will send his prophets to speak the truth and forewarn them of their evil ways and the disastrous consequences that would follow unless they repent. In Amos chapter 3, verse 7, indeed the Lord God does nothing without revealing his counsel to his servants, the prophets. So it's not really a surprise. God is always revealing to his true prophets, this is what's going to happen, this is what's going to take place. Warn the people. God has been using his true prophets to warn this nation to repent and turn from its evil and wicked ways for many decades. The true message of God has remained unchanging over such a long period of time. The knock at the door has always been alerting the nation to his presence. In other words, God's been knocking on the door of this nation for decades, saying, you guys need to repent. Please open the door and repent, and I will receive you, and I will heal your land. But America has grown accustomed to the knocking at the door. They never really answer the door. They just go about their business with the knocking in the background. It has become nothing more than a familiar piece of ambient background noise, having been tuned out like a ticking clock or a creaking floorboard. Suddenly, the knocking has stopped and an eerie silence hangs over the nation. The people detect that something has changed, but they can't identify it. What they do not realize is that God has stopped pursuing the church and has already departed. He is no longer knocking on the door. That's the thing that changed that they can't put their finger on. God stopped knocking on the door of the church. That's scary. And somehow America has grown to expect God to pursue them and to chase them like some kind of coy love tag game, but refuses to reciprocate the intimacy back to God. They enjoy having God woo them and chase after them and pursue them and constantly be trying to call them and text them and reach out to them or whatever, post on their social media pages. And God's not doing that. And they're at a standstill. They don't know that they're not doing any of their part to have intimacy with God. It's a one-sided relationship. That's the issue here. These lukewarm idolaters, being more in love with themselves than God, find themselves in that very position of gazing down the barrel of God's judgment and wrath against their unrepentant sin. What's God angry about? The unrepentant sin. That's the problem. Words alone can no longer work. And therefore, the next phase is the initial strike of divine judgment. After the prophets have spoken and the word of God has gone forth, yet the people still do not repent, the first stage of judgment is revealed and poured out upon the nation. This happened to our nation here in America on September 11th, 2001. This was the beginning of judgment designed to catch the nation's attention. Just as God shakes the church, this was a great shaking of the nation. It was supposed to stir the hearts of the people to true repentance. Some did, and many more were repentant for a while, but went backward into their sin nature. This beginning of shakings is important, and it was no accident why God chose New York City's World Trade Center and the Pentagon in Washington, D.C. God has been faithful to bless America in the area of financial abundance and in military power. America had been a strong ally and supporter of Israel, and God blessed this nation as a result. But when America began to take God out of schools, businesses, and government, in addition to legalizing other activities the Bible says are sinful, it then stepped out of God's grace and into his judgment. This is where the scales began tipping, and we walked out of that safety bubble when we started calling evil good and good evil. In order to hopefully wake up the church in America so that the people may repent of their wickedness, God struck the two symbols of America's pride and power, the World Trade Center and the Pentagon. The World Trade Center was a symbol of America's wealth and fortune, its status as the world reserve currency and free enterprise. Much of America's wealth and financial sector has been closely tied to New York. Consider the New York Stock Exchange. So many and many of the oldest banks in history residing within the center of New York. So this is a huge financial symbol in the center of New York. And the Pentagon was a symbol of America's military superiority and dominance throughout the world. We are all familiar with the date September 11th, 2001, a day that will live in infamy. But what of these two symbols that we just talked about? This is where it gets interesting. We're shifting into second gear here now. The construction of the Pentagon began on September 11th, 1941, exactly 60 years before the terrorist attacks on America to the day. Same exact day. And if that wasn't coincidence enough, Henry Hudson discovered New York on September 11th, 1609. You can't make this stuff up. It has God's fingerprint all over it. God released a judgment against the very parts of America that he had blessed on the very day in which they were established long ago because of the unrepentant sin. And God was trying to get everybody's attention and say that this is going to increase unless you repent. God's message is still the same it has always been, to repent. His fingerprint is deeply woven within each event that has been ordained from heaven. But is America heeding the signs in the times? Is America aware that the knock on the door has stopped? And instead of expecting God to come running to us, are we running to him? That's what we need to be doing, is us running to God. Because that's going to show by action that we need God. We want him. We want to repent. And we're showing that by going to him instead of just expecting him to come to us. Luke chapter 12, starting at verse 54. And this is Jesus speaking again. He also said to the crowds, when you see a cloud rising in the west, right away you say a storm is coming, and so it does. And when the south wind is blowing, you say it's going to be a scorcher, and it is. Hypocrites, you know how to interpret the appearance of the earth and the sky, but why don't you know how to interpret this time? Why don't you judge for yourselves what is right? I firmly believe that Jesus could say verbatim, word for word, this exact scripture today for today's generation and still be 100% accurate and correct. We need to ask ourselves that. What we need to do is judge for ourselves what is right. At what point are we now within this biblical template of judgment? How long do we have between the initial onset of judgment and the closing of the door to repentance? In other words, from the time that the first thing happens to get our attention, all the way to the time when God finally says, the door is shut, you can't come back to me. Now it's judgment time. How much time is in between those phases? We're going to find out. In ancient Israel, the first strike that was similar to our 9/11 happened in 605 BC when Jerusalem was attacked. You can read this in 2 Kings chapter 24. Here's a summary of what happened there. King Jehoiakim of Judah became a servant to the king of Babylon for 3 years, starting in 605 BC, but then he rebelled by refusing to pay the tribute. Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon quelled the rebellion and took prisoners, of which was Daniel and his three friends. So this was 605 BC, this all started. God allowed this foreign nation to come and attack, to have an influence, to have a presence that was of a negative context in this era in Jerusalem. This was the wake-up call for Jerusalem. However, because sin prevailed and the people did not return to God, the full weight of the shakings took place in 586 BC. This year, 586, marked the total destruction of the temple of God built by Solomon, the total takeover and captivity of Jerusalem by the Babylonian Empire. So here's an initial strike. And God's saying, wake up, people, the judgment's coming, and the prophets have been saying this forever. And then 19 years later, the full weight of the judgment was unleashed, and there wasn't anything that anybody could do to stop it, because the time had run out. And if you remember, the temple that Solomon built for God was the most beautiful, majestic-looking temple that ever existed. In fact, when they rebuilt the temple, you had the younger generation feasting and dancing and praising God. They were happy and excited. But the older generation, it was bittersweet. They were still excited that the temple was being rebuilt, but they were also mourning at the same time because it was nothing like the splendor it used to be when Solomon built it. So because it says that in the Bible, it's like it sort of gives you, it puts you in that scripture. It sort of puts you in that zone where you can imagine how people were feeling when that was going on. So in other words, for that temple to be destroyed as part of the full judgment was so devastating, not just physically, but mentally, emotionally, psychologically. They were probably destroyed because that happened. So between 605 BC and 586 BC was exactly 19 years. If we look at this biblical template and apply it to today's situation, we can see that from the onset in 2001, we have our year of greater shakings in now present 2020. Okay, 19 years have passed since 9/11. And just look outside the front door. Look what's happening out there. This year, the prophet Jeremiah was sent to go and tell the people of Judah what God was going to do to them because of one particular sin, and that was child sacrifice. God was so angry with this child sacrifice business that he sent Jeremiah to go to the gates of Judah and tell him what was going to happen to him. And this is what he says in Jeremiah chapter 7, starting at verse 29. Cut off the hair of your sacred vow and throw it away. Raise up a dirge on the barren heights, for the Lord has rejected and abandoned the generation under his wrath. Let me pause there. When it says cut off the hair of your sacred vow and throw it away, that's deep, because there's old Jewish customs. There was different covenants you could make with God, different vows, and one of them was the Nazarene or the Nazarite vow, where no razor would touch your head. It's the one that Samson had. And God was saying here, I'm not honoring your covenant. All those years you've probably been doing it already, it's nothing now, because your sin has piled up to the throne of heaven, and I can't honor anything that you're even trying to do for me. So go ahead and let the razor touch your head, cut it off and throw it out. I'm done. That's deep. That's scary. Continuing in verse 30, for the Judeans have done what is evil in my sight. This is the Lord's declaration. They have set up their detestable things in the house that is called by my name and defiled it. They have built the high places of Topheth in the valley of Hinnom in order to burn their sons and daughters in the fire, a thing I did not command. I never entertained the thought. Therefore, take note, days are coming, the Lord's declaration, when this place will no longer be called Topheth in the Valley of Hinnom, but the Valley of Slaughter. Topheth will become a cemetery because there will be no other burial place. The corpses of these people will become food for the birds of the sky and for the wild animals of the land, with no one to scare them away. I will remove from the cities of Judah and the streets of Jerusalem the sound of joy and gladness and the voices of the groom and the bride, for the land will become a desolate waste. You can almost apply this to today. Is there joy out on the streets in celebration and dancing and rejoicing? Are people just can't wait to get married right now? I mean, you know, it's a sign of the times, as Jesus was saying. Why can't we discern the times in the atmosphere? So the abomination of child sacrifice, today's abortions, was happening in ancient Jerusalem. Though they had murdered thousands, America today leads the world in having murdered millions, 60 million, if I remember the figure correctly. Curiously enough, when was Roe versus Wade officially passed in the Supreme Court? January 22nd, 1973. Now, when was the first case of COVID-19, today's plague, broadcast in America? January 22nd. You can't make this up. Patient zero was confirmed on January 21st, and they broadcast it on television nationally on January 22nd. What state leads all others in America in the murdering of children? New York. And which state has one of the highest death rates from the plague this year in the greater shakings? New York. More people have died from COVID-19 in New York than any other state. Even the name COVID-19 could symbolize the 19-year gap between the initial strike of judgment to the year of greater shakings that we are experiencing here and now in 2020. And, you know, there's an argument going on out there. You can barely even talk to anybody about this kind of stuff, about these issues, because there's so much hate that flares up in people about it. There's a, if you try to tell somebody that abortion is wrong because it's a sin in the Bible. God calls it a sin. He couldn't even conceive of the idea of doing that. It's wrong. And then the people on the other side will say, well, then what are we supposed to do if we can't have abortions? The same thing you would have done before it was legalized. You know what I mean? It should have never been legalized. That's like eating a strawberry and saying, wow, this is really sweet. And then being introduced to Snickers bars, this is even sweeter. And then you're putting the burden on us to try to say, well, you need to make this strawberry sweeter than that Snickers bar. Why is that my burden? How am I supposed to do that for you? You should have never had the Snickers bar. It's artificial. The strawberry's man-made. The strawberry's natural. You know, so it's just a crazy, crazy thing. So what we are experiencing is not some random series of unfortunate events. Now, take into consideration all the social unrest, the literal degradation of the entire civil structure that we have, business, you know, the schooling system, everything that's being affected by all this nonsense that's going on nowadays. These are not random series of unfortunate events. This is not a temporal Twilight Zone anomaly where any minute Rod Serling is going to pop out and tell us about the irony of our ways. It's not a Twilight Zone episode. This is the real judgment of God and the end of the window of repentance before full-blown judgment comes down on America. If you look at what took place in ancient Israel, the same things are happening right now in America. You have a nation that has become divided on so many levels. There are party wars, race wars, gender wars, political wars, class wars, real wars, fake wars, civil disorder, the breakdown of infrastructure, the economic deterioration, the list continues to go on. This is only going to get worse. Not only are the ordained events of the end times going to take place as it is written in the book of Revelation, but to suffer the optional and not necessary judgment of God on top of it because of unrepentant sin is literally like begging to drink the cup of wrath. In other words, the book of Revelation is going to unfold, whether you're living a holy life or whether you're completely sold out to the devil. The word of God is still going to happen. It's going to unfold. So why make it worse by being in disobedience in a state of unrepentant sin and have to suffer God's judgment for that on top of all this other horrible stuff that has to happen in Revelation? That's what I'm saying there. Unless the nation and the people repent right now and return to God as their first love, we can expect to see massive natural disasters literally reshape the very landscape of America to where it becomes unrecognizable. And God told this to Pastor Barbara years ago. He told her, you're not even going to recognize America. This is real. And this is the time frame. This is the 19-year time frame. We're at the end of the window of repentance. And God's been saying that here through Pastor Barbara for a while here recently. Larger scale disasters and man-made insanity will cover entire states to the point where martial law will be declared and total chaos will ensue. And that's another thing God told Pastor Barbara. And there's other prophets out there also that are hearing God. This is going to happen. You're going to see martial law. It's going to happen. You have to stop and think, what kind of social unrest and economic situations must exist in order for the cell phone towers to be shut down, the power grid to have failed, communications in general disrupted to the degree that we will be without them for extended periods of time? it's not going to be just a magic snap of the fingers and then everything gets shut down. It doesn't work like that. So what conditions have to exist in order for it to really be this bad? And that's what we're trying to think about. It won't be one big storm or one big event. It will be many large-scale and multifaceted terrors working together across the entire nation. It will be the race wars that we spoke of and their own pockets of rioting and anarchy that is associated with a war between the color of skin. This is going to be one battlefront that's going on across the whole nation. And if you look just in the last couple of months, they've literally taken over entire cities and disbanded the police and put up their little barricades and said, "We run this town now." What? You wouldn't even have imagined this 30, 40, 50 years ago, hearing about this kind of stuff. It would have to be in a book. It would have to be in a fiction book in order for this to even be read. But it's actual reality happening right now. It will be the class wars that we spoke of. The poor with nothing to lose and everything to gain against the upper class who have everything they want. And all the burglaries, the home invasions, and murders associated with that own war and battlefront. It will be the economic wars brought about by the big bad government who bent the people just a little too far over the barrel, and angry citizens will rise up with pitchforks and torches, or automatic rifles and Molotov cocktails, and all the pocket wars of anti-government armies trying to take down Big Brother. You're going to see this is the thing, everybody's angry and they're looking for a reason to just dump all that rage on any situation that presents itself so they can feel justified in how they feel. That's what's really happening internally in the people. They're looking for an excuse to act out, to manifest their demons. That's what they're looking for. So it isn't just one fire. There are many pots boiling over in our nation and in our society. The problem is there is a demonic principality behind each one. Behind every war, there's a demonic principality there, fanning the flames and forging its evil to destroy everything it touches. That's what it wants to do. And the only way that these demonic powers and principalities will achieve victory is through the unrepentant hearts of America's people and its leaders, you know, leaders in the church. And you're seeing churches shut down now because they're in sin. There are churches that are closing because the leaders are being exposed, and God is the one exposing them. If you can't live holy and righteous and handle the responsibility that God has given that particular person, and you're not walking according to the way that God has designed that person to walk, then that person can't be used by God. And so they lose their mantle or they lose their ministry. And this can happen to any one of us. So this is like a wake-up call, trying to explain to us that the real key here is the repentance. And unfortunately, the nation as a whole has not completely repented. Just like after 9/11. What happened is everybody repented then, but it didn't stick. Some people did, they stayed repentant, but most people went right back into the sin. Right back into their old nature. It got their attention, but it didn't change their heart. And that's what God's trying to do. He does things that he doesn't necessarily want to do, but it's a judgment. It has to happen with the hope and the goal of changing our hearts so that it doesn't have to happen again, which is what God's desire is. God's desire is that we would rend our hearts before him, humble ourselves, and confess our sins with the commitment to changing our lifestyle to conform to the image of Jesus Christ. We can no longer go through life thinking that how we think and what we feel and the way we see things are set in stone. We can't do that. It has to be living according to the Spirit of God, what he thinks, what he feels, and what he shows us or reveals to us in each situation. That is how we need to live. You're literally living in the moment under the Spirit of God. Like, we have the Word of God and we have the framework for holy living. So it's not always in the moment in that context. But when you're walking in the Spirit, everybody around you can be saying, this person is wrong or this thing is bad. But the Spirit of God can tell you that's not what's going on in that person's life. And that's where you need to be in the moment with the Spirit of God to know and to discern, this is what's right or this is what's wrong. Jesus told us in that previous scripture, why can't you judge for yourselves what is right? We can't do that. We need the Spirit of God. He's the perfect moral compass that points to true north, to tell us this is what's right and this is what's wrong. We need the character and the morals of Jesus inside of us through the Holy Spirit in order to do that. So what Jesus is actually saying is you need the Holy Spirit. You need to be walking in the Spirit in order to judge what's right. So please get into my Spirit so I can show you what's right and then you can do it, is what he's saying. And that's the only way that we're going to be secure as all these crazy things get worse, as more events unfold to get our attention. And I'm not saying that God has decreed that in 2021, all the judgment's going to bust out. I'm using the template of what happened in ancient Israel to get our attention, to say, wow, time really is like short, if it even exists at all. And this is why we need to be right now repenting truly, deep roots repenting, where it lasts and it continues. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. Notice this scripture is the if-then condition. And God's saying, if you do this, then I will do that. Is it possible that some of us may be crying out to God, asking him to help us, to restore us, or to deliver us, but it seems like there's no response? And if that shoe fits in your personal situation, then all you have to do is ask yourself, am I doing the condition that exists here for God to be able to do his part? For example, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, that's the conditions we have to meet before God can respond. So are we doing those conditions? If we are, then God will respond. He will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. Sometimes God has us in a situation where it's a conditional thing, and we need to make sure that we're following whatever conditions are necessary that God has spelled out, either in his word or through a prophetic word to us from a true prophet. So, and other times, there isn't a condition to it. God may have just given you a promise, and then you can stand on that promise and just wait, be still and wait for the Lord. So we really need to pay attention, and I was talking to my wife about this earlier. We have to go back to the prophetic words that God has given us and listen to them over and over and over again. Ask the Holy Spirit to help us understand it how he meant it and not how we perceive it. Because this has happened to me. I'm certain it's happened to you guys. When you listen to your word over again a few times, you hear what God's saying. You didn't hear it when he gave the word necessarily, but when you keep listening to it, it starts to sink in and then it clicks. And there's different things in that word that just make sense. That's God depositing his discernment. his understanding into us when we listen to that word. Because sometimes we may get a word and we may feel like, God, I don't know what exactly you want me to do here. You know, I kind of understand what you're saying. But if you ask the Holy Spirit to help you understand that word and you keep listening to it, God will give you that foreknowledge. He'll give you that discernment. He'll give you that understanding to know what he's really saying to you. And then you can stand on that. You'll have the understanding that he wants you to have. Father, we thank you right now. We just praise you and give you all honor and glory. We thank you, God, for loving us enough to continually warn us, to show mercy to us, God, to call us to true repentance so that we do not have to be under the judgment. And Father, we thank you for this. We cover the very seeds of this message, of this teaching in the blood of Jesus Christ. And God, we thank you. We ask that your Holy Spirit would till the land of our hearts to receive your word, to receive your truth and the understanding of it, to effect healthy, positive, godly change in our lives that will bear good fruit for your kingdom. And Father, we thank you for this. In Jesus' name, amen. One thing that I wanted to point out was, if you truly repent and ask God for his eyes, his understanding, to see what we may be doing that's not pleasing to him, then the judgment won't touch you. God will watch over us and cover us and protect us if we're truly close to the fire, if we're truly intimate with him, if we're truly striving with everything in us to live holy according to the way that he has designed us to, then it'll be just like Elijah. We'll be fed by the ravens. You won't have to worry about all this stuff. You won't have to go crazy and buy 10 years worth. I'm not saying don't do that, but I'm saying you won't have to rely on man. You'll be able to rely on God without the fear and the anxiety. You'll have faith, knowing that God is going to take care of you as all these things unfold across the land. And it is to God's benefit to cover you and protect you and bless you as judgment falls upon America, because that's exactly what other people out there are going to see is, hey, how come this stuff isn't touching you? How come this stuff isn't bothering? How can you walk around in perfect peace and your family's actually laughing and happy, and the rest of us are out here dying in the streets, going crazy with all this stuff happening? What do you have? Because I want it. And then you tell them, I have Jesus Christ. I have the Spirit of God in me. Let me share that with you so that you can partake in the goodness of God like we have had the grace to do. And see, that is what's going to win some people over as all this stuff goes on. They're going to see your lifestyle. They're going to see your character, and they're going to want it. And that's what we can say. It's because of Jesus. So it's to God's benefit to protect us as these times unfold the way that they're going to. For the altar call, it is about true repentance. Even if you don't know or aren't aware or don't feel like you're doing anything wrong, ask God to show you, to touch your heart deeply. Because the key to all of this is literally 2 Chronicles 7:14. The nation means the people. When the Bible talks about a nation, it can also mean the people. We as the people are where everything starts. Revival starts in each one of us. It's the same thing with repentance. If it starts in us and God's Spirit moves upon us, that will reach out and branch out and touch people around us. And it's like a wildfire that spreads when you have the Spirit of God in you after having truly repented and living holy. And that can touch other people and set them on fire. And they will touch other people and set them on fire. And that's how this nation turns back to God. So the altar's open for you to come up and just lay out before God and truly repent. Ask God for a spirit of repentance to take deep root inside of you and allow him to touch you.